Hi everyone, it's nice to be back again, and you can see a short outline in the handout here. Can people be changed from sin, from doing God, doing wrong against God and each other for good? Can people be changed from sin for good? There's different angles to this question may be asked from. It could be from an ex-criminal wondering if it's ever possible for their life to be turned around. Or will there always be a shadow of their past that catches up to them, or recurrence of the thing that triggered them? But this could equally be asked from any of us, really wanting to love and do good, especially if you are Christians, that this is the changed life, being put right by God from now on. But whenever we mess up, you can feel like, is this even possible? And can I really be changed for good to be able to keep making progress in this as well? And then on a whole world perspective, now what's the biggest problem with the world? Now why is this world broken rather than becoming a better place with all the AI advancements? Well, the biggest problem is human wickedness with blame and shame. You see, just see how AI is already being used for the wrong reasons. The only way to make the world right is not policies, but if people can be changed for good. Otherwise, it will always be a broken world. One last reflection. What's the point of religions in the world and rituals if it doesn't actually change people for good? See, it only confirms that the religion is a failure and people are failures. If all it does is trying to do something to compensate for the problem, sticking plasters over it again and again, but not actually dealing with the root problem itself. So any real salvation from God must deal with the root problem of sin, to change people from sin for good. Otherwise, it's not a real salvation at all. It's just still a broken people and a broken world. And so the big question, can people be changed for good? And as expected, yes! And we're going to look more closely at Jesus again, and why Jesus is the only one who can do this. And the first point, Jesus' offering is uniquely effective to save and change us from sin. You see, 9 verse 23 to 10 verse 4 is all about a comparison of offerings for sin. Now, on one hand, there's the limitation of the old covenant offerings, which is basically the relationship Israel had with God in the past. And it has this limitation that all other religions share as well. But on the other hand, we see Jesus' offering of himself. And the differences are, verse 24, the old covenant holy places were just man-made, just a copy of the true things. But Jesus entered into heaven itself. And that's where Jesus is right now. And verse 25, the high priest had to offer animal blood repeatedly every year, which we saw last week. This only confirms the problem of people's sin and a troubled conscience rather than cure it. But verse 26, Jesus appeared once for all. And interestingly, at the end of the ages, it's almost like this is now the last phase of history, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Once for all, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus' offering is uniquely effective. Firstly, to save us from sin, verse 28. Verse 28 describes our final judgment day verdict already being determined if we are Christians. When Jesus appears, we won't be judged for our sin, but instead, we will be saved. And that verdict is already confirmed for us through Jesus. And our failures now will not change that. And secondly, Jesus' offering is uniquely effective to change us from sin. And we'll see more of this in point three as well. At the end of 10 verse 1, we can see there's this idea of making perfect. And this is not about being sinless now, but the word perfect in Hebrews means bringing something to completion. In other words, the final goal is starting to be achieved. And in verse 2, this is related to our conscience being freed from sin. And we saw last week in 9 verse 14, our conscience is purified from dead works to be able to serve God. See, how we can see ourselves at this moment, if we're Christians, is not as sinful people, but as good people. And we are freed from our past shadow under sin and being reminded of it repeatedly in verse 3, to now start a new life, to love and do good for God. And we'll see more of this later. So Jesus' offering is uniquely effective to save and change us from sin. And why is that? Secondly, because only Jesus came to do God's will. Now, this is at the heart of the passage. Only Jesus came to do God's will. In verse 5 to 7, Jesus is quoting a Psalm 40 from Israel's greatest king, King David. In the Old Testament, in the Bible, the king is able to represent his people and lead them to be able to keep God's word. Without having a king, the people just did what was right in their own eyes. And King David's psalm says, ultimately what God desires is not burnt and sin offerings, but someone who does God's will. Well, actually, King David did not fulfill this psalm. He failed to fully do God's will. And one clear episode was his adultery with Bathsheba. But Jesus is quoting King David's psalm for himself, that he has come as the promised king to do God's will. This is why Jesus is uniquely able to save and change us from sin. As our obedient king, in the history of humanity, only Jesus is fully obedient to God. Only Jesus has the track record of not doing wrong against God and against other people. And when the authorities who arrested Jesus tried to find fault in him, they couldn't find anything apart from his claim to be God. And this is really key. See, no one can have any credibility to say that they can save or change people from sin for good if they themselves don't have the track record of this. Now let's start with a low bar. Now just think of the animal sacrifices. I mean, an animal just doesn't have the ability to be able to do and obey God's will. So it can never be a substitute for people, to save people from sin, let alone to change people. And what about the high priest? They themselves are equally sinners. And what about leaders of all major religions in the world? The Pope, Muhammad, Buddha, and so on. They are also sinners. And look into their lives. There is no human who has fully done God's will. They are just as much of the problem than the solution, apart from Jesus. Jesus quotes and fulfills verse 7. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. See, only Jesus has the track record. That means he's qualified to save and change us from sin. Interestingly, verse 5, Jesus changes the quote from Psalm 40. In Psalm 40, King David says, you have given me an open ear. But Jesus changes it to a body you have prepared for me. And I'm sure you know, Jesus is not just misquoting the psalm. He's combining this with other promises that tells us that the obedient king will also be the sacrifice for his people's sin. This is how Jesus saves his people from their sin. He represents them as their substitute and offers himself as the sacrifice for their sin. And it is his obedience uniquely that means his sacrifice for sin is effective once for all. See, the key thing is Jesus' obedience means he can do this unlike anyone else. And the implication of this is in verse 14, which is our third point. Jesus has perfected us for all time. See, Jesus is now bringing us towards the end goal. You know, earlier we said, any real salvation must deal with the root problem of sin, to change people for good Otherwise, it can't be a real salvation at all. It will still be a broken world and people. And here we see that this is actually now possible. People can be changed from sin for good. Verse 14 says, we are now being sanctified, which means set apart from God for God. And verse 15, with the Spirit in us. And verse 16 to 18 will show how we are now being perfected for all time by the Spirit. Verse 16, the Spirit is writing God's law on our hearts and minds, changing us from sin for good. See, whenever we feel like it's impossible to be changed for good, and when we still mess up, that's not true. We have all the resources we need with the Spirit who changes our heart and mind. Now, Jesus is now leading and changing us by the Spirit to share in His obedience, and He is uniquely able to. And here we can see real examples of this. Now, maybe we know some older Christians in their 70s or 80s who are full of genuine love and goodness, even though they might be on a wheelchair and waiting for a new body. See, they are a picture of how only Jesus is able to deal with the problem of sin itself, to perfect people for all time, to change people from sin for good. It is really possible, and there's real examples of this. And even when we still fail at times, while we are continuing being changed, in verse 17, the Spirit also actively reassures us that I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. And the CCTV of our sins is all wiped away. It's because of Jesus, God doesn't see us as doing wrong anymore. And in fact, we are now being changed for good. And just to conclude, you know, over this Hebrews 8 to 10 series, we've seen the big problem is our ongoing sin, even as Christians, that could cause a troubled conscience to think that we cannot draw near to God at that moment and think that we cannot be changed for good. And maybe even giving up. Why even try when we are bound to fail? And the writer of Hebrews tells us that's not true. And he wants us to look more closely at Jesus. In chapter 10, specifically, look at Jesus' obedience, which means that His offering of Himself is able to save us from sin and change us with the Spirit in us to love and do good for God. And let me lead us in a prayer. Father God, thank You for showing us at the heart of the passage how Jesus is the only obedient one who came to do your will. And thank You for that because of His obedience, He is uniquely able to save us from sin and to change us, that He is able to deal with the root problem of sin itself. We pray that even whenever we mess up, this will give us a full assurance that we are able to draw near to You, and also that we are able to keep stirring up each other, to love and to do good, knowing that Jesus, with the Spirit in us, is changing us from sin for good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.